It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and blog comments. Last week, right before the Supreme Court ruled against the D.C. handgun ban, we looked at who guns and therefore gun laws actually affect. For one listener, Phil in California, they've affected his whole life. 12 years ago, my 16-year-old brother discovered a gun at a friend's home, which was unlocked, loaded, and barely hidden. Later, he stole that gun and used it to end his own life. 8 years later, I stumbled across a new idea in firearm safety and was so impressed that I bought the concept, patented it, and started my own manufacturing company in Fremont, California, making gun locks that are simple, safe, and swift to remove. At this year's NRA show in Kentucky, we had an average of one lock sold every 10 minutes. It proves that firearm owners are willing to take measures to make their firearms secure, which in turn keep their families and communities out of harm's way as long as it does not detract from the protection of those same loved ones. With what's going on in D.C., he continued, I can see that firearm owners could be nervous or even feel threatened that their rights or security is at risk, but until firearm owners can put a stop to fatalities from unintended discharges, gun control will always be an issue. I don't know if things would have turned out different had a gun lock been installed on the firearm that my brother had found, but the deterrent might have bought our family a little more time with the one we loved and now miss dearly. Listener Mary in San Francisco explained her feeling about guns this way. I consider myself a strong progressive, and I also support gun ownership. I do have a concealed carry license and carry a handgun in my purse and car. I also have a rifle, shotgun, and pistol in the house. Although this may sound excessive to non-gun owners, I believe I have a much better chance of fending off a bad guy than I would otherwise. I chased off two house intruders several years ago simply by aiming my shotgun at them. Nobody, especially me, got hurt. I think many people today have an irrational fear of guns themselves. I think this fear stems partially from total unfamiliarity, which can be remedied by taking a gun handling course from a reputable instructor. This is not about politics. It's about training. Guns affect everybody's lives, she continued. For a listener in Alaska, firearms are a necessity. Kathy wrote, I grew up in a family where guns were and still are a necessary tool, part of our lifestyle. A handgun is much easier to carry when we are out picking berries, where grizzly bears live, when we are fishing, where grizzly bears also fish. When we sleep in a tent, we also keep a handgun with us. If your tent is attacked by a grizzly, one of the first things he does is crush your tent with his front paws. And if you're lifting a rifle to protect yourself, it's useless. We try to get guns through private individual sales, and we feel we are our own best judge on what firearms we will own and on what we will do with them. I don't have a problem at all with restricting gun ownership for violent criminals, but the rest of us are not a threat to each other. Well-intentioned people often don't think about some communities when they talk about banning handguns. And we remember George Carlin after he died last week with comedians Margaret Cho and Louis Black. Several of you sent in your memories. Sheila in Wisconsin lamented the words she did not learn from Carlin. I memorized the seven words back in the mid-70s, and I still know them. If only George Carlin had worked the capitals of the states into a bit, I would probably still remember them all. He'll be missed. Another young mind shaped by Carlin. Jay wrote on our blog, as a little boy, I would sneak down to the TV to watch Carlin after my bedtime. It was a true skill to remain quiet as I giggled. I tried and tried to record it with my little cassette player. I even used his football-baseball joke to write my fifth grade comparison contrast paper. The priest bought it all the way. I hope that doesn't make me a hack. And finally, this from Noel in Pennsylvania. In 1975, my mother had a job with a long commute, which she complained about. So I saved my allowance. I was in the seventh grade, and bought her an 8-track tape of George Carlin doing live stand-up so she could listen and laugh in the car. It was also the first time I had a full stand-up show of George, and I can still hear him discussing the differences between football and baseball. Remember, in baseball, the player's always going home. My mom passed away June 21st, 2 years ago. I'm glad George can make her laugh again. We always like to hear from you, and it doesn't have to be funny. Send us your comments, questions, or corrections. The easiest way to reach us is by email at talk@npr.org or on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. And if you want to hear shows you missed, you can find our podcasts at npr.org/talk.